Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. On today's show, I'm going to get myself in trouble with my wife in particular, and probably with women everywhere. And you'll hear, we'll get to this pretty quickly, so you don't have to wait in too much suspense. But before we talk about how I'm going to get in trouble, I'm going to just tease the other things that we got going on in the show today. We've got new movies, Lucy. We've got Hercules. We've got Wish I Was Here. And So It Goes. And finally, I had a chance to see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which I didn't get a chance to see because I was in Israel the last couple weeks. Now I finally had a chance to see it, so you can rest assured and rest easy and say, now I know Kevin's opinion, so I can go see the movie in its third weekend. Anyways, we're also going to be talking about some news from Comic-Con, but there's going to be so much stuff rolling out throughout the weekend that I'm going to really cover the Comic-Con wrap-up next week. There's going to be a ton of announcements from Marvel and DC, so we'll touch on a couple of those, but most of that will be saved for next week. We're also going to talk box office predictions and talk about trailers in the trailer park, and that's where I'm going to get in trouble. So open up the bear trap, you know, set the pin, and get ready for me to step in it. And then finally, we'll have the DVD roundup later in the show. But before that, here's how you get a hold of me. You want to write it down so you can send me hate mail and email and tell me that I'm a chauvinistic pig. You can email me at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. If you want to find me on the internet, it's fatguysatthemovies.com or facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's twitter.com/KevinCarr.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
That's right, Ron Burgundy. Let's talk real quick about some news. I'm not going to cover too much Comic-Con stuff. Like I said, there's a lot of noise right now when it comes to Comic-Con, and I don't go to Comic-Con anymore. I mean, it's a great experience, and it's gotten bigger and more cumbersome. The last time I went was in 2008, which was 6 years ago. Holy cow. But I've gone as early as the early 2000s. I think 2002 was the first time I went. And it's a fascinating experience. And I really think that anybody who's a geek or a fan of geeky kind of movies, you know, superheroes and science fiction, should take a chance to go. But I can't stomach it anymore. It's just way too busy. I mean, you got to wait for like 16 weeks to just get into Hall H. As I understand now, there's lines to just get in, just to get inside the convention center. The Rock has been teasing about doing a Shazam movie. Now, we don't know whether he's going to be playing Captain Marvel or Black Adam. And I think I would like to see him as Black Adam. I think he plays a great villain. But I think that a Shazam movie would be great. I'd love to see a Shazam movie. And he might show up in the Justice League. Another bit of news is that Zack Snyder premiered the look of Batfleck. Now, of course, we've seen the very sad picture of him, you know, standing by the Batmobile. Here, we actually get to see the full outfit and the cowl, and the cowl's empty. They actually have the suit there, but it just looks like the cowl's yawning. Not a whole lot of news there. See what I'm talking about? There's a couple little bits of news from Marvel. Sinister Six, the movie, has been announced to be a 2016 release date. If you don't know who they are, they're a group of villains from the Spider-Man universe Sony's developing. And then The Amazing Spider-Man 3 comes out in 2018. Now, that's what I find so interesting. 4 years for a Spider-Man sequel, whereas they only took 2 years last time. They put the sequel on fast track, the first sequel, and I think they got so much backlash for this one and it didn't do well enough domestically. I'm wondering if they're going to be doing a little bit of retooling in the actual Spider-Man movies and sort of letting Sinister Six do its own thing. There's also 9 Marvel movies that have been unannounced going into the weekend, and you know, I'm sure we're going to get all those names. I'll cover all that next week. But as it is right now, let's move on into the trailer park. All right, the first one I want to talk about, this one's probably going to get me in trouble too, is Dear White People. It opens on October 17. It was a big hit at Sundance, and it's about a woman who is at a predominantly white university, and she runs a radio show, and accusations of racism. It's talked about a comedy for people of the Obama generation.
Dear White People. The minimum requirement of black friends needed to not seem racist has just been raised to 2.
Dear white people, please stop touching my hair. Does this look like a petting zoo to you? This just in, dating a black person to piss off your parents is a form of racism.
Together, we can bring black back to Winchester.
I'm all for satire, and I'm all for pulling back the veil and looking at ourselves in a mirror through cinema. The only thing with a movie like this, I just hope that they are grounded, because the character she's presented in the trailer is a bit of a nutcase. And I get annoyed, because you see this stuff on Facebook all the time where people say, white people, stop doing this. White people, stop doing that. And one, the big one is touching the hair. They actually say that in the trailer. Don't touch my hair. I'm not a petting zoo. And that's, I understand. If you're somebody who's getting your hair manhandled all the time, that's kind of weird. But I've known plenty of black people in my life. I've never gone up and grabbed their hair. That would be creepy for anybody. And I'm sure that happens, but I always just sort of irritated when, I don't care what minority group you're talking about, that decides to then lump everybody else. Oh, white people do this. Well, no, not really. Just because you've encountered some white people who've done that does not mean that every white person is like that. And just because you're in your very limited experience of knowing people in high school or college, you can't generalize for the entire freaking country, for crying out loud. Who knows? This one looks like it's actually got a lot of good humor and good wit. And hopefully it skewers everybody and satires everybody and not just white people, because, you know, that's the only people you can make fun of nowadays. See, already getting in trouble. Now let's really get in trouble. Talk about 50 Shades of Grey. That trailer dropped this week. It opens on February 13th of next year. Let's just play it.
Mr. Grey, we'll see you now. To what do you owe your success?
I exercise control in all things, Miss Steele.
It must be really boring.
I'm incapable of leaving you alone.
Then don't.
I've had a rough start in life. You should steer clear of me.
Enlighten me, then.
I saw somebody make this point, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase this guy I know on Twitter, goes by the handle AllFlicker. He made the point, he says, why do when we have a movie that's geared towards women, is it always have to be a really subjugating role? And I know the history behind 50 Shades of Grey. It was basically Twilight fan fiction that put the sex into it. And if you watch the trailer, you get that. You're like, this is just Edward and Bella. This plain Jane, nobody gives a crap about, not terribly attractive woman that then finds this very powerful man and then becomes basically his slave, which is what happens in the story. And that's what it, I mean, if you look at the Twilight movies, Edward's incredibly possessive. He has an ownership of her. He doesn't let her be her own person. He has a lot of controlling. And even in the trailer, he's like, oh, I control every aspect of my life. And she's like, that sounds boring. I look at my wife when I watch it. I go, that sounds exhausting. The reality is, in my opinion, and here's where I'm going to get in trouble. This is a psychotic fantasy. This is a horror movie, but it's billed as a romance. It's not a romance, at least from what I saw. This is a horror movie. You know what this is? This is those guys in Cleveland who locked women in their basement. This is not at all the way any person should act. No one should be like, I just want somebody to control me and tie me up. And I'm like, I understand if you kind of get your kicks that way. You know, everyone has a freak flag and they got to fly it, and that's fine. I'm not stopping that. I'm just saying, this doesn't feel like a love story. And even then in the trailer, he's like, I have real problems. He's like, he basically admits to her, I'm a sociopath. You might want to stay away from me. She's like, no, tie me up. It is terrifying. And here's why. This is why it's a dysfunctional fantasy. Go take the male fantasy. Women do this. Go to the, you can find on the internet for free. Go watch a porno. And then when your husband or your boyfriend gets home from work or school, or you're out running errands, or he goes to see a movie, goes drinking with his buddies, when he comes home, act exactly, perfectly like the girl in the porno. The guy's going to love it. If you gave your husband or your boyfriend that fantasy, they would love it. That's a reasonable fantasy. Men, go watch this 50 Shades of Grey character. And when your wife, your girlfriend comes home from school or work or taking the kids to the park or whatever, treat her like they do in this trailer. You will spend at least a night in jail if you do that. It's this dysfunctional fantasy, because a fantasy should be something that you'd love to have happen, and maybe it's not good all the time, but it should be a good thing for you. It should be something you'd like. I don't think any woman wants this. Do women really want to be controlled? I mean, haven't we gotten past this? Isn't this what the whole feminist agenda has been for the last several decades? No, then it's suddenly, no, I want you to tie me up and tell me exactly what to do and control me. And I'm so special to you and I'm important, but I don't need to be under your thumb. And that to me is kind of twisted and it bothers me. And that's why I've never liked the Twilight movies. Anyways, there's me getting in trouble. I got to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about And So It Goes and Hercules. Welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr. I've gotten in trouble with the racial issues, with talking about Dear White People. I've gotten in probably massive trouble with my wife and every other woman in the listening audience by talking about the dysfunctional fantasy of 50 Shades of Grey. Now, let's see. Can I get in trouble with old people? Let's talk about And So It Goes. Let's just go right into this one. It stars Michael Douglas and Diane Keaton playing adversarial neighbors in a rom-com for the older generation.
I messed up. I need a woman's perspective, and you're the closest thing to it.
You always could charm me.
You're unbelievable.
Bingo.
I need you to take care of my daughter while I'm gone.
What's going on?
It's my son.
Wait, who's that?
That's my granddaughter. She's probably Guatemalan. Mm-hmm. He had sex with the maid once.
I'm going to make someone a great wife someday.
Take that box, put it on that box. It's on that box.
Are you a hoarder?
I'm the only friend you've got.
Might have found somebody else who likes me, so you can die now.
I did not get a chance to see this. They screened it. I'm not blaming the publicists. I'm not blaming the studio. They screened it, you know, and thank you for that. I was in Israel at the time. Ironically enough, this movie was playing at the Jerusalem Film Festival. I didn't go see it because it doesn't have a doggone thing to do with Israelis or Jerusalem. They had regular movies playing there as well, but I said, I want to focus on Israeli cinema. So I skipped this one thinking, oh, I'll be able to see it. But they didn't have midnight shows. Why do they not have midnight shows late night? Because nowadays most movies they'll do like Thursday night previews starting at 7 or 8 at night sometimes. And even not, you can usually find a midnight or 10 o'clock. I remember there was that, what was that movie? The Big Wedding or something like that. That was not at all a movie that was going to do well. But since they're showing everything else, they showed The Big Wedding. I saw that at midnight before it opened. This one, they didn't show it anywhere. I couldn't find it playing anywhere. And I don't think it's because the studio told them they couldn't, because that's happened before, where the studio has basically, they did that with, what was it, Vampire Academy? The Weinsteins told exhibitors they weren't allowed to show it early. I think they didn't show it early because the only people that are interested in this movie are going to be old people. And again, no offense, but I think that's the reality of this movie. It stars two excellent actors, and it's a romance between the two of them, but they're really old people. This reminds me a bit of that movie. What was the name of it? I don't remember, but it had Tommy Lee Jones and Meryl Streep, and they played a couple who went away to like a couple's therapy week, and Steve Carell was a therapist in the movie. That one, I ended up going to see during the day, because it like opened on a Wednesday, and I saw it during the day, and it was packed with old people. You could smell the Bengay for all the way around the corner. So the reason they didn't probably screen this at all early was because there was not going to be any old people. They eat dinner at like 4 and they're in bed by 7. They're not going to go to a 9 o'clock movie or God forbid a midnight film to watch this. So I didn't get to see it. It's Rob Reiner. And you know, this is getting bad reviews. I will tell you this. It's not getting good reviews. The reviews are not kind. And I think that's just because Rob Reiner's kind of lost it as a director. I mean, he's done some fantastic movies in the past. I mean, When Harry Met Sally was brilliant. A Few Good Men is a great movie. Misery is amazing. Spinal Tap is awesome. And, you know, even some of his more recent stuff, The Bucket List was good. I enjoyed that. And what was that movie with it was the kid who falls in love. It showed up for a little bit in the theaters, but it flipped, I think was the name of it, or something like that. They're okay, but he's really come down in the world. I mean, he made some great movies in the 80s and 90s. And his movies struggle to just be mildly decent now. It just feels like this is over-manipulated. Even in the trailer, did you hear that there was like Scooby-Doo in the trailer? And it's a shot of a dog. There's a Rottweiler that lives next door to. And in the trailer, you hear this. I'm like, really? That's what we seriously got Scooby-Doo to do the voice on this trailer? It just seems to try too hard. I don't know. His best days of filmmaking are behind him. I can't say even this is a preemptive suck because they screen it for us. But I at least the way the wind's blowing critically, it probably sucks. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about the next movie, and that is Hercules. Brett Ratner directs this alternate take on the legend of the Greek demigod.
The gods that killed your family have unleashed hell on Earth. They are the descendants of Hades. They cannot be killed by an ordinary mortal.
The people need you.
I am no hero.
A man with a cause can be stronger than a god.
Who are you?
I am Hercules!
Oh, Hercules.
Okay. I'm not going to mince words. Let's just go straight to the review. I was not expecting this movie to suck as bad as it did. I was expecting it to at least be watchable and enjoyable. And I saw that Rennie Harlan, Legend of Hercules, back in January, and that's not a good movie. It's not. Trust me. It's not a good movie. It stars Kellan Lutz, and he is not a good actor. It's laughable at times. It's really ridiculous. But it's more entertaining than this one. And that's a sad state of affairs. I mean, I like The Rock. I think The Rock's fine. But even hear him in the trailer. He's like, I am Hercules. He sounds like Megatron in the Transformers movies. Who, whenever he shows up, he goes, I am Megatron. I have never in my life woken up and gone, I am Kevin Carr. Oh, heavens. Here's the other thing. If you watch the trailers and you can listen when I played the trailer here, The marketing is saying this is a Hercules movie. You expect a certain thing when it has any movie about the gods and, you know, Clash of the Titans. You expect there to be gods and monsters and creatures and demigods and people doing superhuman feats. That's not what this movie is about. This movie is basically the Brothers Grimm version of Hercules. It's about a guy who's just a guy who's big and strong and he's good at what he does, but he's a mercenary and he just kind of made up these stories to kind of sell himself. It's kind of a shyster. I don't think anyone wants to see that. And evidenced by the fact that they've hidden it in all of the trailers and all the marketing. It doesn't say crappy fake Hercules. It just says Hercules. And you watch the trailers and they talk about the legends of Hercules and the feats that he's done. That has nothing to do with the movie. This is not him going through the labors of Hercules. They reference him, but it's sort of these embellished stories. And you know, or you remember, it's kind of, they kind of did that bait and switch with the Lone Ranger last year. I want to see a traditional Lone Ranger movie. I don't want to see a, you know, bad, you know, guy who's sort of coming to terms with being the Lone Ranger. I wanted to see a Hercules movie that had him doing superhuman things, but no, it's not. It's just him. He's just this muscle-bound dude. And also the fact, they didn't screen this. And there was one screening in Ohio, of all places where I live, and it was in Cleveland, and it was at 7:30 on Thursday night. I literally could pay to go see it earlier in Columbus. I just paid $10 to go see it because they didn't screen it for anybody. They end up having the press screening after the public screening started. That's a terrible sign. And this is a big Paramount summer movie. This is the last weekend in July. This should be a big push. They shouldn't be afraid of this, but they are. And with good reason. I watch this movie and I'm just like, this is just boring. There's nothing to, it's not even laughably bad. I mean, Ian McShane's really good in it. He plays one of his lackeys. But that's it. The Hercules is a terrible movie. It is bad. And I was reading an article from my friend Scott Mendelson from Forbes, and he makes the point. He said, this may be the first big bomb of the summer because we haven't had that. Anyways, we'll talk a little bit more about that when we talk box office. But for now, just let you know, Hercules sucks.
It sucks.
All right, I need to go to a break. When I come back, we're going to be talking about Lucy, and Wish I Was Here. You have some splaining to do. I just figured I hadn't offended enough people and just gotten in enough trouble. my apologies to any Ricky Ricardo fans out there. We're going to be talking about Lucy And that music was from Lucy. And this is the film with Scarlett Johansson, directed by Luc Besson. Scarlett Johansson plays a drug mule whose package starts to leak inside of her, and the drug gives her access to her entire brain capacity and turns her into a superhero of sorts.
What did you do to my stomach?
We've merely slipped a new package into your lower tummy, and you're going to transport something very special to us.
Somebody put a bag of drugs inside me. I need you to take it out. It's leaking.
It is estimated most human beings only use 10% of the brain's capacity. Imagine if we could access 100%. Interesting things begin to happen.
I have access to 28% of my cerebral capacity.
First of all, I want to say I keep sort of track of what my colleagues say about movies, and there's a lot of hate out there for Lucy. There's a lot of people that are dismissing it and saying it's not that good, and yeah, it treads familiar ground. It treads some of the stuff we saw in Transcendence, that Johnny Depp movie by Wally Pfister back in April. So it treads that. It treads similar to Limitless, if you remember that movie with Bradley Cooper a couple years ago. And I will admit, Limitless is probably a better conceived movie. But you know what? I had a lot of fun with Lucy. It's basically, like I said, it's a superhero movie. It's about a woman who gains this amazing power and her brain becomes more functional. And it goes, because we only use like 10 or 15% of her brain. And she goes from 20 to 30 to 40. I mean, she starts using and she can like pick things up and learn things and kind of has a super mind and then suddenly can manipulate the world around her. It's a fascinating concept because we don't know what would happen if you could unlock the full capacity of the human brain. We don't even know if that's possible. Maybe it's used for something, or maybe what the old brain matter is used for something completely different. Maybe it is used for something, or maybe what's in there is not something we want to access. There's a lot of amazing things that we don't know about the human brain. And this does kind of make it like a comic book, but that's okay. It's an action movie. It gets really, I'm not going to say it's smart because it's not necessarily a smart movie, but I don't think it tries to be smarter than it is. It gets a little dumb near the end, which is fine because it's a Luc Besson action movie, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. I liked it. I thought it was good. It's not as good of a sci-fi piece as Scarlett Johansson in Under the Skin, which is a brilliant piece of speculative fiction. But gosh, you know what? This is what a summer movie should be. It should be a little bit mindless, but maybe dealing with some fun things, and you get to see Scarlett Johansson kicking butt. Plus, it's like 90 minutes long. I ended up seeing earlier this week, I took my kids to the drive-in. We still have a drive-in in Columbus. And we saw Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and Transformers Age of Extinction, which I've already seen, and my son Ben had already seen. Liam, my older son, hadn't seen it because he was at camp when it screened. And that movie started at midnight. That's a two-hour and 40-minute movie. That is a slag to get through. It is rough to get through Transformers 4. And it's all because of the running time. Even as dumb as Michael Bay makes it, it's not the Michael Bay dumbness that makes that movie hard to get through. It's a 2-hour and 40-minute running time. And Lucy circumvents that by being just 90 minutes long. I mean, you get in, you get out. It's a relatively simple story for the concepts it's trying to grasp. And sometimes it gets a little bit heavy-handed with its imagery. But overall, I enjoyed it. I think Lucy's a good movie. I would say Lucy rocks. So there.
It rocks.
Excellent.
All right. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about Wish I Was Here. Zach Braff directs this drama about a man coming to terms with him being a father and a husband while he realizes his dream of becoming an actor isn't panning out.
What about my dream? I mean, doesn't God believe in my pursuit of happiness?
No.
Well, thank you. This is our father. You have to rally with me.
Absolutely not.
What's happening? This...
We both spent our entire lives wishing we could be something great. And now we're finally called upon to do something that requires some actual bravery.
Before I get to the review, there's a little bit of history behind Wish I Was Here. This is one of those Kickstarter movies. And we saw that earlier this year with Veronica Mars. That was probably the most famous Kickstarter movie. And there have been big projects. Very recently, we had the Reading Rainbow project, where LeVar Burton, TV's Geordi LaForge from TV Star Trek The Next Generation, has tried to bring back Reading Rainbow, and he got like $5 million out of it to reboot the show. And that's great. I never watched Reading Rainbow. It started when I was a little bit older. I was out of that sort of window to watch it. I would watch stuff like The Letter People when I was a kid on the PBS stuff. But, you know, hey, I love Reading Rainbow. I think it's a great thing to have, and people embrace that, and that's good. And I think Kickstarter works. If people want to see a project, they can just make their voice heard. Now, you're not going to make $250 million to make a movie out of it. But on the Kickstarter campaign, you can get, if you go to your fan base and ask them, hey, they'll make money. And I like Veronica Mars, I'll bet you they could do a second Veronica Mars movie in 5-6 years and do the same thing. You make a couple million dollars to do it. Here's the thing that kind of got Zach Braff in hot water is Zach Braff went to Kickstarter, and Zach Braff is not a poor man. He was on Scrubs for like 7 years. He still gets royalties every week for that. And yeah, he's not doing a whole lot right now, but it seemed a bit crass for Zach Braff to ask people to give him money to make this very personal story that he wants to make. Just make it yourself or get the money. And it does beg the question. I mean, like Veronica Mars, you're dealing with a property that was on TV and you got legal entanglements when it comes to studios and production. Nothing was holding Zach Braff. Nothing was stopping him from doing the Chasing Amy thing and getting like $300,000 and just shooting it himself. And I think there are a lot of people that said, you literally have the money to just bankroll this yourself. Why don't you? Why are you asking people to do it? That's okay. People spent money. And if there are people who want to give me money, I'd love to do a Kickstarter campaign to say I'm going to do a Fat Guys in the Movies movie and get, you know, $30 for it. That's what I'd end up with because I'm not Zach Braff and I didn't make Garden State. So you also have to look at the fact that he made Garden State, which was, that must have been 5 to 10 years ago. And it was a darling of independent cinema. Personally, I did not like Garden State, but I'm in the minority. There's a lot of people who loved Garden State. And for those people, I think this movie's going to be fine because it's basically Garden State for a guy in his 30s with kids. I don't know what Zach Braff's life is like, but he is dealing with many of the same issues in this movie as he did with Garden State. This is not showing a great depth of his creativity and writing. It's derivative of his own work. It was an interesting perspective because it's steeped in Jewish tradition because he's Jewish and he's dealing with that. And there's, all these issues people, who grow up in a religion have, regardless of whatever religion it is. And this was literally the first press screening I attended. And it gave me a really interesting perspective because I just spent a week watching a lot of movies about not just the Jewish experience, the Israeli experience. And here's this movie about this American Jewish experience. And I thought it was an interesting perspective. But ultimately, my problem with the film is, first of all, Braff bites off way more than he can chew because it's about him and his kids and it's about him and his wife and it's about him and his dad who's dying of cancer and about him and his brother played by Josh Gad. It's just trying to do too much at once. And it shows he's a pathetic person. He's not a good father. He's not a good husband. And he's chasing a dream. And you can arguably say I'm chasing a dream. But I've always said to my wife, as long as I have forward momentum, I can still chase a dream. I mean, I'm not there trying to be an actor making dandruff commercials in my 30s. At certain point, after 15 years of hitting your head against the wall, you probably should go and get a real job, especially if you can't afford basic expenses. And he's a crappy husband, too. And so it's this story of redemption. But I'm like, when you got a daughter who's like 14, 15, however old Joey King, who plays his daughter, is, that is not the time to suddenly become a good dad. You should have been a good dad for the last 14 years. I got a son who's 13 years old and I've worked hard and I've sacrificed a lot to be a good father for all of his 13 years. I don't suddenly just decide to change it when he's a teenager. So I just didn't respect the character. And that's the problem I have with this movie. He's a pathetic character and he has this overly cheesy epiphany through. And it gets very corny and cheap and dumb at times. I have to say I'm not a big fan. Wish I was here. Kind of sucks.
It kind of sucks.
Oh, okay. All right. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking a little bit of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, plus the box office and the DVD roundup. Kevin Carr with Fat Guys of the Movies rolling through, finishing up the show. Hopefully I have still some listeners out there since I probably alienated a whole bunch of people in the last couple segments. But no, I'm holding firm. I'm holding strong. I'm going to push ahead and talk about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I'm not going to play a trailer because I played it a couple weeks ago. And it's been top of the box office for the last 2 weeks. But I finally got a chance to see it because I was traveling and I wasn't able to see it. I was a little bit let down by Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, partly because I loved Rise of the Planet of the Apes so much. I thought that was one of my favorite films of what 2011 was when it came out. A fantastic movie. It dealt with a lot of issues and dealt with some really cool character elements. I love films about people trying to do something great for humanity and then just having to go horribly wrong. I love those laboratory films, stuff like Splice, you know, even stuff like The Machine, which we talked about earlier this year. I love those kind of movies because I think it shows the folly of man. That's one of the reasons I like Transcendence too. We mentioned that a little earlier and it comes out on Blu-ray this week. We'll talk about that in the DVD roundup. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is sort of has a lot of similar elements that were in Battle for the Planet of the Apes. If you go back and watch the original Planet of the Apes series, which were 5 movies, and for people who sit there and bemoan the fact that all Hollywood does is crank out sequels, you gotta look, there was pretty much a Planet of the Apes movie every year from like 1968 to like, 1973 or something like that. And it was like Planet of the Apes, Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Escape from the Planet of the Apes, then Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, which was the 4th movie, is actually the best Planet of the Apes movie, in my opinion. And Rise of the Planet of the Apes uses a lot of the same story elements. It's about the apes rising up from slaves, basically, and defeating their human masters and declaring freedom for themselves. And that's a great movie. It is, in my opinion, of that first run of Planet of the Apes movies, the best one. And that's why I liked Rise of the Planet of the Apes. It deals with a lot of the same issues. Battle for the Planet of the Apes was sort of like, I think it was Roger Ebert who said it was the last gasp of the franchise. And Battle for the Planet of the Apes isn't that good. It's a bunch of humans and dirty humans under the ground fighting a bunch of apes who are trying to start a rudimentary society. And that's basically the same sort of story going on here. So it does have a bit of a Walking Dead mentality with a bunch of dirty people just sort of trying to live a life in a post-apocalyptic world. I'm not a huge post-apocalyptic guy. I've never liked those kind of movies anyways. It has some neat things, and the special effects are amazing. Weta's Digital's apes are great, and it's better than Battle for the Planet of the Apes, but it's still not nearly as good as Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I want to see something a little more formed in terms of society. Just a bunch of animals, whether they're human animals or ape animals, just fighting each other just doesn't interest me as much. So I was kind of let down by Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, but it's still, I'm going to give the official grade of kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about the box office. Was I correct? Last week, I made the bold prediction that Sex Tape was going to win the weekend. I said it was going to win with $35 million, and boy, was I awfully horribly wrong. And that came off of my arrogance from the previous weekend where I was like a million and a half away from predicting exactly what Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was going to make. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes made a little bit more than $35 million last week, and The Purge Anarchy came into a relatively close second with just under $30 million, which is terrible because that's an awful movie. Do not go see it. It's terrible. It's a bad movie. It should have its knuckles smacked with a ruler. And then Planes, Fire, and Rescue, which is a charming, wonderful, little fun little movie for kids. And then that was at like $18 million. And then Sex Tape came in with less than $15 million. Less than half of what my prediction was. Sex Tape did not do well. Well, then that's okay. I'm tired of these crass comedies that are trying to replace romantic comedies, but just say, let's deal with sex more. And I'm like, that's fine. I'm not a prude. I like sex. I like having sex in movies. That sounded weird. But I like both. I like the sex in the movies, and I wouldn't mind having sex in movies. There were a couple drive-in experiences in my college youth. I'm not going to say anything more for fear of embarrassing my wife. Anyways, Sex Tape did not do well. This is yet another disappointing weekend for Hollywood. It's not been a good summer for Hollywood. You don't need to go start out running around and having bake sales and giving your money to Hollywood. I think they're going to be fine. We've got plenty of huge movies coming up. We've got all the Marvel and Star Wars movies, and next year, 2015, is going to be monstrous. But I think this week, $35 million for Lucy. I think Lucy's going to beat Hercules. I think it's going to soundly beat Hercules. In fact, I think Hercules is going to bomb hard. And I think here's why. Movies that are marketed as something they're not generally do not do well. And if you recall during my review of Hercules, I was pointing out the fact that Hercules is not about a demigod. It's about a shyster mercenary who builds his own legend around himself. He's very good at his job, but he's not a demigod. And so you're being sold a bill of goods that you're going to see this authentic Hercules movie. It would be like if you went to go see Clash of the Titans, and people can complain about Clash of the Titans all they want, but if you went and saw Clash of the Titans and there was no Pegasus in it, there were no Kraken, and there was no Medusa, they were just like, well, these are just really stories, and we're going to tell what it was really like. No, people want to see, if you're billing a movie as the Hercules movie, and it's a and the poster has him leaping, going to fight the lion, you want it to be real. You know, you want that to be what the movie's about, not some story that his cousin's telling in the first 5 minutes, which is exactly what happens. And that's why I think Hercules is going to bomb. It is not what it's being advertised. And that word's going to, and plus the fact nobody's reviewing it. That's, I think, why they're afraid of reviews. They're afraid of somebody coming out and saying exactly what I'm saying on the radio and saying, this is not what you expect it to be. And if a movie is terrified that they're going, that somebody's going to pull the veil back from the trailer and say, this is not what it is, you failed already. And we've seen that happen before in the past. So yeah. I think Hercules is going to bomb bad. It's going to be the first big bomb of the summer. Because with the exception of Legends of Oz, which has its own little story, there's really not been a bomb. Even movies that have played disappointedly, like Edge of Tomorrow, did well enough overseas. There's very few movies that are coming out in the red, really, when you bring in the overseas gross. You know, even something like Transformers 4, which is not doing well domestically, it's doing extremely well overseas because, you know, doing well in China because the Chinese are like, hey, this is a movie about us. Not really. It just takes place in our city. So we're going to go and enjoy that. So, yeah, that's what's going to happen. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it is time to roll into the world famous DVD roundup. All right, a couple movies this week. The first one I really want to point out is Transcendence. This is what I think it got a bum rap, and I think the reason it got a bum rap is because it's not a great movie. I'm not going to deny it has problems, but it deals with some interesting topics. I think the biggest problem that it has is because it's Wally Pfister, who, if you don't know, that he was the cinematographer for Christopher Nolan, so he has all the weight of Nolan in his syncope production behind him. He was able to get a monster cast with Johnny Depp and Rebecca Hall, and you have Morgan Freeman and Cillian Murphy and Paul Bettany, and it looks great. But it, in essence, is a first director film. So it plays out like a first director film, and boy, he bites off a lot, and there's a lot to chew, and he doesn't chew it all down, and it causes a little bit of, you know, coughing and choking at times. But it's still, I think it's a fine enough movie. It's good enough for like an at-home viewing. It's just, it had so many great actors in it and had such a slick look. And it felt like a Christopher Nolan movie that you're expecting something bigger when really it was just a guy's doing his directorial debut. So Transcendence is good. It has some okay. There's not a whole lot on the Blu-ray. There's just some like special features like behind the scenes. They could have done more with the artificial intelligence there. But, oh well, Heaven, beggars can't be choosers on that one. The next one I want to mention is Heaven is for Reals. I threw the Z there for myself to make it sound hipper. This one actually is sweet. Of all the movies that have come out this year that are faith-based and they're really pushing these, this one I think was the most honest and least obnoxious. I mean, something like God is Not Dead was kind of a pushy movie. I think Heaven is for Real is even outside of its declaratory statement of title, it's a fine little movie, and it's more a story of one guy's crisis of faith. And I think that that's where it can hit a certain level of humanity. There's Sabotage with Arnold Schwarzenegger trying to return to action. This, I think, was just a bit too gritty. I mean, it was grim. You know, and I think, I don't even know if this would have played well in the 80s with movies that like Raw Deal that he was making. But still, if you like Schwarzenegger, old school Schwarzenegger, you get that here. There was also Tom Hemingway with Jude Law, which is an okay sort of cockney crime movie. And then Blue Ruin, which I haven't seen, but I hear is a fantastic thriller. So I'm going to throw that in the recommendation pile. In the pile of stinkers, we got Tyler Perry's The Singles Moms Club, which, I mean, I shouldn't have to remind everybody how terrible of a filmmaker Tyler Perry is. You should know this by now. Come on, people, get with the program. That's it. I need to wrap things up. Next week, we're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. Hint, hint. I'm hoping this is going to be a big movie. Get on up and iOrigins. Until then, have a fat time at the movies.